Like, it was weird. It was like, I got near the end of the day, and all of a sudden, I'm like, why do I feel like crap? I feel like I got like all creaky and achy and just felt kind of sick. I'm like, man, just feel like I don't know if I sat in one position too long or didn't stretch or something happened. But Thermite stopping in with a Horlio, and we've got Alchemical Dreams and Wild Bill Flint stopping in, saying hello. See, I don't know. I felt weird, and I still feel kind of weird. But as I normally do, I get mad at myself. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to finish cleaning up the rest of my party stuff, and then I am going to just kick my own ass. Just down here, at the workout equipment I have in my basement. Snowlet also stopping in. Also me, he says. If you can, folks, check out Mr. Snowlet. Quality fella. I saw you were playing the Jedi, the Fallen Order. Did you finish it? Did you finish that, Mr. Snowlet? So, I'm going to do another promo trailer read after this nightcap today, but it does feel good to be back in my normal little studio down here. For as much as it is fun to be upstairs smoking the cigars, there's just something about this. There's just something about being down here and being in this little recording booth room. I don't know. It just feels comfortable, if that makes any sense. All right. You finished the story. Nice. Is there like more to it? Do you have like multiplayer or DLC or something to. Oh, Chemical needs to start working out with his free weights again, in addition to walking with your Zombies Run app. Well, you will get nothing but an enthusiastic yes for me on that one, because I'm a firm advocate in getting yourself strong, getting the blood flowing. It's all important. Mind, body, soul, cardio, strength, all that stuff. Oh, extra combat challenges. Got it. Nice. Bill, what about you? What are you up to other than making bacon jamming to the bacon jam? I feel like this light's like extraordinarily bright. Do I have it like aimed too high at my face or something? What the fuck? That's better. I think I'm gonna turn this down a little bit. That's not bad. Actually, that might be worse. Let's turn it back up. Okay, that's better. I felt like I was like looking right into a bright light. I think I did too many days of the colored lights and now being at a regular light. Cheers to you all out there. So what we're going to be reading today is I saved a thread that is stories and comments of people replying to the question, what is the scariest thing you've experienced? So obviously, you know mine in terms of like terror. And that was like supernatural terror, although I think some of these are more along the lines of real life stuff as well. Bill bought a bike today. Bill, what kind of bike did you get, man? Did you share any pictures of that? That's badass. And you're doing he's working on some infused vodka and bourbon, but that's still in alpha phase. What are you infusing? Both of those. I used to do vodka infusions for a little while there, and I really enjoyed that. Black Cat's Poppy stopping by with a drink. Black Cat, how are you doing? Hope you're doing all right. So yeah, I felt weird. I felt weird earlier today, and work is going both good, but then I'm also having like a frustrating, annoying thing to work with, so I'm hoping I can just blast through that tomorrow and just because I got a lot of stuff to do. Bill just bought a plain Schwinn something or other from Walmart. You're taking the Harbor Freight approach. Buy a shitty one to see if you're going to use it before spending way up. Dude, 1000%. And before I got the motorcycle that I had, I actually just bought a cheap one off of Craigslist. There's a guy who just like refinished bikes. I think what he probably did is he probably got them out of the trash. And then he would just replace, like, you know, he'd like Frankenstein them together. He would look for similar bikes and he'd take brake pads off one and whatever. And I got a bike that was pretty cheap and it lasted for a year or two, but like, it's like fucking like $30. So who cares? guy showed up in a minivan with all sorts of parts, and he tuned the chain and oiled it and everything right there. And so, I mean, I think that is a great approach. I think there's very much something to be said for getting, I'm just going to say, the beginner's model of stuff. And just, if you don't use it and you don't like it, you're not out of fortune. Black cat is stiff from the bed at the dog sitting place. Hmm. Is the bed too firm? Too soft? Not just right? Black cat, do you sleep on your back, your side, your stomach? Or upside down? Or under the bed?
I sleep under the bed because there's bad things under there.
I couldn't even say it. The image of you cackling and sleeping under a bed, like giggling because you're under there, makes me happy. Don't buy standing jacks from Harbor Freight for your car. Yeah, I mean, that's maybe not such a great idea. But I would say, especially for... let's call it non-expensive repercussive tools. So yes, car jacks for your car that may either destroy your car or you. But you know, thing like, you know, you even told people like, okay, you're getting like some basic tools and stuff like that. Like, unless you're going to build a house, you know, like angle grinder, we talked about that. Biggest thing there is get a face shield or something so that if the wheel breaks, it doesn't cut your face off. There's a real bed up in the air. What? I'm confused. Like levitating in the air? Like, what do you mean a real bed up in the air? You do cackle a lot? I love that. Harbor Freight is great for one-off or uncommon tool use. Well, it's a little bit of a, if you don't really know what you're doing and you want something to start out, especially if you're building like projects. I don't know, glue guns, little saws, all that sort of stuff. I mean, like, I have an oscillating tool that's from there that works just fine. I think my reciprocating saw is a Craftsman saw. I can't remember. But anyway, like, buying just a bike like that, you know, I know a dude who spent, no joke, $3,200 on his bike. That's just a road bike. But he rides all the time. So it's like carbon fiber with like a, it's not a chain. It's like the Kevlar belt. So you never have to oil it and blah, 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 blah. But like the dude he rides all the time. So like that makes sense. If you spend that amount of money and you're going to ride it up to 7-Eleven once a year, that's not really worth it. Black cat just, as a mattress and a box spring on the floor. I mean, well, okay. Is that your preferred thing, or can you not afford a bed? I used to just sleep in a mattress on the floor. I didn't like being up in the air at all. I found it more comfortable to sleep on the floor. And then he eventually found those tatami mats. And that was his bed, was a tatami mat with a little pillow under, like a little rolled towel pillow thing under the back of his neck. He slept flat on his back. And I talked to that guy when I was having my back problems, and he said that that actually really saved his back because the sleeping up on a bed, a soft bed, something with the way he would, I don't know, move or set his hips or something that really bothered him. So sleeping on the floor, he actually just found it way more comfortable once he got used to it. So Black cat doesn't like fancy. I like how a bed off the ground for you is considered fancy stuff. You could put it up on cinder blocks. It doesn't mean that it's fancy. You could build a bed frame out of old railroad ties that you scavenge out of the back of some ramshackle shack. I mean, you don't have to quantify it or explain it to me. Sleep where you like to sleep. Every now and then, I like sleeping in my reclining couch in the front of my, in my front room that I do my bed. So, I mean, so how's everybody else doing? Anybody else up to anything fun for the rest of the day or the week? Snowlet, what's the next game you have going on? Alchemical, how has your mouth healing been? Black Cat, are you still watching these dogs and how long for? You know, and I'll just mention that you mentioned bikes. I'm thinking my motorcycle makes me sad because I only have like this week and next week left with it. And it's gone. And I think it's supposed to rain again tomorrow. And so I was like, just please don't be like wet. Nope, it's wet. It's like, fucking motherfuck. Oh, Chemical's back to being 100% mouthworthy. Fantastic. Great to hear it, dude. Black Cat is done with the house sitting. That's fantastic. All right, so let's read some of these stories, okay? I'm going to switch over to the sidebar view so that we can check some of these out. This is a Reddit thread, and I will paste the link to it here in the chat so that if anybody wants to read that on their own, you can. But this is serious question. What's the scariest experience you have been through? So this is just in order of the ones that are top votes, down. Corinthy says, the first time I had a gallbladder attack, I legit thought I was dying. The pain is completely out of this world. It's really hard to describe. It's unfathomable. It feels incredibly dangerous, especially when you have no idea what is happening and the panic that goes with it. I thought I was having a heart attack or worse, that my body was straight up dying. It sounds like hyperbole, but honestly isn't. Worst experience of my life. I have not had, thankfully, any gallbladder issues. But having had kidney stones, I will tell you, kidney stones are not a thing that you want to get unless you like blacking out from pure agony, which is what I did. Kidney stones are fucking just, ooh. So I thankfully have not had an appendix or gallbladder issue, at least not yet anyway. Have any of you guys had any gallbladder issues at all? Anyone? Or appendicitis. Like, appendicitis is weird. It's like you just have this ticking time bomb organ in you that just might explode and kill you. Like, hey, that's cool. It's like that's like Johnny Mnemonic, except you're just born with it. It's like you could be a cyberpunk thing, and they're like, oh, we put a cortex bomb in you. You're like, dude, I have an appendix. Fuck you. Shrek the Musical, 25, stopping in with a hello. Shrek the Musical, good to see you. Black Cat, still none. Knock on wood. I'll knock for you. Shrek the Musical, how you doing? All right, let's continue with some more of these. So, this one says, Looky Looper, got hit by a car and was just kind of on the hood of the car for a bit before the guy realized he hit him and stopped. Oh, God. This person, Meh35, says, my biggest fear happened to me like 15 years ago. Woke up in a hospital with IVs in me and a feeding tube going down my nose. Family all terrified around me. And then I passed out. I'd recommend not getting meningitis and encephalitis. Over 2 months in the ICU, a month in the hospital, then a month and a half in a rehab center. Miraculously, I left there walking, talking, and able to take care of myself. Shit was crazy. Dude, reading about, yeah, like encephalitis, meningitis and encephalitis. And we had that, what was it? There was, I know for a little while there was a scare here in Michigan for mosquitoes that could transmit something that would give you some sort of encephalitis or meningitis. And that was really scary. And all I'm going to say is everybody just kind of fucking shrugged their shoulders at that. Which, you know, I'm like, eh. Oh, man, okay, that's too long. I'm not reading all that. This person says, suddenly and very unexpectedly went into heart failure at 27 years old. My God. Repulsive Ocelot. I once got stuck on a rock when I was scuba diving, and I passed out, but my dad saved me. When I woke up, I was so nervous, I threw up the entire contents of my stomach and the water I kept drinking to deter the vomit taste just because I was super nauseous and nervous. Oh. Jesus. Well, that's pretty brutal. You think you had West Nile one year? That's like serious business. West Nile's is no joke. Maybe that's what it was that was going around. They were saying that there were cases of West Nile. Like, that's serious. Like, fucking that shit fucks you up. Black Cat, why do you think you had it? Did you just get all super jacked up, sick, wrecked up from that? But, yeah, in terms of heart disease, like, I've known a couple people who have had shockers out of nowhere, which, again, is why I say, please, please make sure you keep up on your doctor yearly checkups. Like a super bad flu and fever. Yeah, if that takes hold, I think, yeah, you can get like meningitis or encephalitis from that, which is just devastating. Horrible. You can't pause toast, says my boss dropped dead on the dance floor at the company Christmas party. He's a good guy in his 50s, divorced, loved high-quality vodka. I was a bartender and he was the restaurant manager. It was definitely a bummer. He was a good buffer between the employees and the coke addict that owned the restaurant. God damn. My next door neighbor died while we were playing tennis. He threw the ball up to serve and when he was about to swing the racket, he collapsed. He died before the ambulance came. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I hope hopefully some of these give you guys some nightmares, because I feel like we need some spooky Halloween nightmares. So, you know, you're welcome for that. I survived being struck by a pickup truck that's traveling at 50. Lots of broken bones, internal damage to muscle and organs, including my heart and brain, and lots of pain. Jesus. Emily Christine 9, here we go, says, school shooting. I was a junior in high school and a recent transfer student who got expelled at another school. They started shooting in the commons. Everyone hangs out in the commons before school, so it was super crowded and dangerous. I remember hearing the first shot and thought a table collapsed. No one batted an eye. My orchestra teacher came out of his office and was immediately suspicious and said, "You guys, what was that?" And then a few seconds later, the second bang. We knew then what was happening. I happened to be in the orchestra room right next to the commons, and we had an exit that led to the parking lot. But in school, they teach you whenever there's an emergency to hide in a corner. I remember trying to hide in a practice room, but it was locked. Then my friends and I ducked under a piano, and students started swarming in the room from the commons. At that point, our orchestra teacher said go and had us run out the exit instead. It was a brave decision he made, and running to our cars was the longest run of my life. I remember ducking as I ran because I thought there might be other shooters aiming for the runners. As I ran, I realized I didn't even have my car keys or phone, didn't know where to go. Luckily, we made it to the back of the parking lot and met up with a few friends and crammed six of us into a four-seater. I'll never forget the faces of my peers around me scarred with fear, and I'll never forget legitimately thinking I might die that day. After aimlessly driving and making phone calls to our parents with one phone, we were able to watch the news and saw that there was no one injured. It turns out our government teacher bravely tackled the shooter to the ground. He was known throughout the state and even threw a pitch for the Mariners games. I'm very grateful it didn't end how most shootings do. God damn it. Whoa. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine that as an adult, let alone a teenager. Metadeath 2, stopping in with a yikes. Metadeath 2, how you doing? Good to see you, and cheers. Thanks so much for stopping in for a nightcap. Hope your day is going all right. That's damn right, good teacher. It's like, you know, if you're going to be a shepherd. Or sheepdog, rather. Puppies. This person says, finding my dad dead after he killed himself. His room had never been so quiet and still. I stepped in and saw him face down blue with his urine all over the floor where he peed himself after he passed. I was in complete shock. I'll never forget touching him to try and wake him up and the feeling of recognition finally setting in. Even though I'd known as soon as I stepped in the room that he was dead, my mind refused to let me accept it was true until I felt him and tried to shake him awake. Feeling his stillness was the most terrifying moment of my life, and I don't remember much after that. It clicks in your head that this person is gone. They are never coming back, and then the guilt and the pain come rushing in. The days leading up to his suicide were filled with fear and anxiety because I knew deep down that it was coming one day and there's nothing I could do to stop it. That feeling of hopelessness is hard to put into words. Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to skip another one of those. I got to read ahead a little bit. That one changed. It wasn't the... let's see. Here we go. When I was 10 years old, I was abducted while my family and I were camping at a state lake. My parents had to run some errands, so all us kids were left with one of our aunts. I went to a creek next to where our camper was to go fishing, probably about 75 yards. I had forgot my bait and didn't want to go back for it. Unlucky for me, a man was there, so I asked him for some worms. He said they were in his car just around the corner. He guided me there, and that's when it happened. I was gagged and taken to a different part of the park grounds. What happened next, as one could imagine, are things my nightmares are made of for years to come. I'm 33 now and still recall vivid details. Thankfully, I was found with about 2 hours. Unlucky for him, it was my father who found us first. The man somehow managed to escape my father's wrath and flee. He was apprehended by state troopers and local PD about 30 minutes later. Cue all the legal shenanigans and sentencing. Dude is a repeat offender and still only received like 12 years in prison. My family kept tabs on him and was in custody and were notified of his release. The second scariest thing was the day he was released. My heart dropped, and he's long been a fragment of the past that learned not to live in fear over that of any longer. You know, like, I don't, like, shit like that, like, I think about, like, terror and, like, the supernatural killers and all that stuff are awful, but, like, rightly so, it's impossible for me to imagine, like, just abducting children and do, like, I mean, I guess part of me goes, if you had that compulsion that was that bad, maybe just, like, get away from them. Like, if you couldn't put a bullet in your head or whatever, like, God, that's terrible. Absolutely terrible. All right. Let's see. This doesn't even make any sense. Girl anew passed out in front of me on the beach after becoming yellow and with a bloody hand. Screen help in 5 different languages. I mean, I don't know what the fuck the person's talking about. Despite having no history of epilepsy or related issues, I had a series of seizures at work back in 2018. It started with a simple walk into a room and forget why. At the time, except I completely forgot the few seconds it took me to walk there. Then it escalated and I could feel something coming on. I didn't have convulsions, but my body couldn't respond to anything. I was just stuck, staring straight ahead and unable to speak or move. I didn't know what was wrong with me. EEG and vitamin deficiency tests all came back okay in the hospital, so it was written off as stress. I'm constantly worried about it happening again due to the nature of my work. I mean, it's just, I've had some medical-ish scares in my time. And for me, one of the scariest things is when you get the results. There's always the fear of, oh my God, I hope this isn't anything serious. But there's also the fear that they'll go, well, everything just looks normal, which is what happens to me every time. And then you go, why do I feel so terrible? Oh, yeah, you're just great, dude. Oh, yeah, cool. Fucking rocking. Love it. Fucking sweet. Eesh. My wife and I were eating dinner one night when a guy walked in our house. He told us he was the angel of death and was collecting souls for the apocalypse. He said there were demons outside everywhere. I thought, this is it, we're dead. Luckily, he didn't have a weapon and didn't attack us. I talked him into walking outside with me so I could help him out, and as soon as he stepped through the door, I slammed it shut, locked it, grabbed my gun, and called the cops. By that time, he was in the road screaming nonsense. Turned out to be on meth. The whole thing didn't last too long, but being told the angel of death is in my house to collect souls almost paralyzed me with fear. Fucking hell. Jesus. I mean, every now and then people are like, why do you carry a pipe? Like, you're not going to fend off the angel of death with that. So if you're thinking I'm like some ultra commando, That's not why I have it. It's for like cutting pieces of apple or trimming or checking my mustache. Mustache check? Sex-stash check? Is everybody checking their mustaches? Dan has the best mustache, though. Dan Dastardly stopping in. Says, hey, champ, good man, looking fine. Dan Dastardly, how you doing, man? It's got to be fairly early in the morning for you. You ready to spin up some Factorio? Guys, don't play Factorio. This man is addicted to this game. And, Bill, you should probably spin it up. Loved the powerful Twitter pic. Man, I crushed it earlier today. I got done with that, and I had to, like, take a knee because I was just, oh, man. Someone's like, oh, man, I'm doing something stupid. Like, no, I needed this. I needed it because Friday, I couldn't work out Friday. And then I drank and was just, maybe that's what it was, just a buildup of toxins from eating garbage all weekend. And then, man, I was like, God, I just feel like, ugh. So as I often say, got to get in a good sweat. Kick your own ass. You'll feel better afterwards. All right. Dan Dastardly. Thank you very much for that, by the way, Dan. I appreciate that, dude. We have a UK story here, so maybe you can help us on this if there's any weird UK details. This person says, I was driving down a B road in the UK. What is a B road, Dan? And moved into the turn right lane in the middle of the road. No one was coming, so I indicated and started to turn right when the guy behind me, who's driving like a maniac, overtook me by going into the wrong side of the road about 100 miles an hour. If it was about 1 second quicker in turning, he'd be gone on my driver's side. I remember pulling over and taking a deep breath. This was legit years ago, and it still pops to my head all the time. I always think, what the fuck was he thinking? Well, he probably wasn't thinking. He's probably on drugs. I mean, anytime you encounter something like that, the person is either in hot pursuits, committed a crime, has some sort of emergency, or is like under the influence of something. Drugs, drunk, meth, who knows what. A straight road, or a back road. Okay, that makes sense. Let's see. I don't want to read that one. Let's see. This person was in Africa, and every evening a big male lion would walk through the camp. He would roar outside my tent, and it was blood-curdling. You could even smell him, he was so close. Nothing separated from me but a thin layer of canvas. He'd hang around for 45 minutes to an hour. You cannot imagine the horror of that sound. What the fuck? Okay, you know what? I'll pass on the whole let's stay in a canvas tent in Africa. I'm sure it's a beautiful country. I'm sure if you go on Naked and Afraid and you like live in a BOMO, that's amazing. But at this point in my life, I think I'm gonna pass on that. I think I'll pass on that. Dan, have you ever gone like hardcore backpacking or anything like that? Actually, anybody, I know Black Cat, I know you kind of have. Has anybody else in chat done like the true backpacking? Like you just put on a pack, some lightweight pack, and you just walk way out into the middle of nowhere? Is anybody here in chat do any of that? Like there's some horror stories about people that go out and do that shit too. Podcast folks, you'll hear the potential answer to that when you come back from your break. Dan answered, it's not really, just the odd camping with friends. That's fair enough. I think I'm more, that's more my speed, especially at this point in life. I think the hardcore backpacking thing for me is over. let's see. Oh, here we go. We were camping. I sent my toddler out of the tent into the campfire where everyone was. She left the tent. I continued straightening up and came out to the energy group. Daughter was not there. They thought she was with me. I thought she was with them. There was a river near the campsite. It took 5 minutes to find her. She had somehow wandered the wrong way and was at the entrance to the campsite. A teenager had found her and then found us when he heard us calling her name. Longest 5 minutes of my life. Don't let kids wander around out in the fucking woods. Do you know why in like ancient medieval stuff, the woods was always like, don't go into the woods? It's not because they didn't want you like smoking grass back there. It's because you'd get lost or die or get eaten by animals or fall in some chuck hole and crack your femur in half. Like fucking, yeah, villainous, hail the villainous. is big into doing, she does, I don't know if she does so much like hardcore backpacking, but she does a lot of urban X. She does a lot of trail hiking and urban exploring. She has those caves near her house. And that's pretty wild, serious stuff too. Man, you gotta be careful when you go out and do that shit. There was another thread I had. I think I read it last year about people encountering crazy, creepy stuff while they were camping. Like, don't underestimate that. Even if you're just going to a simple campground, there's some fucking maniacs that go out there and do that shit. This person says, when I was 11, it was a group of my pals a few streets away from home. A truck drew up, and a man coaxed my friend to get in the cab, saying he'd buy her an ice cream. We tried to tell her no, but she was a messed up kid. Okay, because she likes ice cream? They drove off to get ice cream, and we anxiously waited for her to come back, which she did about 20 minutes later, minus ice cream. I went home and told my parents, who told her parents, and they brought me to the place. Ooh, King Dinosaur subscribing again, tier one. Did someone say maniac? King Maniac. King Dinosaur Maniac. King Dinosaur, good to see you. How are you? Eaten by the Auroch, it died off only 400 years ago. Yeah. You know, fucking mastodons. King Dinosaur, how you doing, brother? Cheers to you, man. So this ice cream person brought her to the PlayStation, gave her a description. He's never seen in the area again, but 4 years later on a Sunday morning, his face was on every newspaper and TV channel in the UK. It was Fred West, the serial killer. To this day, I don't believe he would have brought her back if we hadn't made such a fuss about her getting into a vehicle with a stranger. What the fuck? Dan, do you know about that guy? Do you know about Fred West? The fuck is Fred West? Scott, do you know that guy? Hey, Scott, do you know that guy? Oh. Jesus. Togo Fury. When I was 14, four boys attacked me in the woods near my house. They tied me to a tree and took turns beating me for a half hour. Why are humans just fucking psycho? This person lived in a second-story apartment for a few years. Was woken up around 2 a.m. one morning to slamming on my door and someone yelling, fire. When I opened the door, everything was bright orange and I could hear the very loud crackling of burning wood. Thought it was either my apartment or the apartment under mine that was on fire, and my first reaction was to find my cat and get her out. Halfway through grabbing her, I realized I may have been putting myself in serious danger and thought I'd have to escape off the balcony. Thankfully, for me, it was the apartment across from mine that was on fire, so I was able to get downstairs into safety with my cat. The next hour or so was a completely different kind of scary as I crossed my fingers the fire wouldn't spread to my apartment. It didn't, but two buildings were destroyed, 14 residents were displaced, two cats lost their lives, and a firefighter was hospitalized. Fuck. See, I like this person. Scary as hell, but at least some neighbor had the awareness to bang on doors and let everybody know. So I'm going to go back. I'm going to tie this back to a conversation here for a second. Let's check up on chat super quick. Must be friends with Ted East. You rogue, you. Yeah, just kid things. Yeah, just kid things. Just tie a kid to a tree, beat the shit out of him with a log. Cut off some of his toes, you know, just beat him to death. Yeah, just, they're just excitable boys. Just excitable boys. But, like, we were watching some horror movie. I can't remember which one we were watching. And people are like, oh, and, like, no one's going to wake up when that happens. And I wanted to say, if you read stories of people who die in, like, house fires and stuff, the shit that people sleep through is out of control. Now, you could be a light sleeper, or you could be a fidgety sleeper. And see, I think I'm a fidgety sleeper. If I hear the sound of what I think is one of my gutters overflowing, I will wake up instantly. On the same token, If there's a horrendous thunderstorm, that might not wake me up. People may be yelling and screaming out in the street, and that might not wake me up. It's very weird the things that your brain registers as danger or not. And sometimes people just sleep through shit. I mean, there's people who've been found pretty much like burned to death in their beds. Chemical says I fucking sleep through anything. Right? I mean, there's people like, you know, I knew somebody, they had to move their house because they lived near, I think it was some sort of ice cream stand. In the summer, they couldn't stand the sound of like people, like he was that sensitive to noise. And then another guy, and he lived to a place that was right near a train tracks. And they're like, well, doesn't the train wake you up? And he's like, nah, I just sleep through it. I'm used to it. It's just a fucking train. So, like, it's all just about how your brain processes that stuff. Alchemical slept through trains going by his house as a teenager. There he says. Yeah, it's a scary thought. Because if you're sleeping like that, you know, you're probably going to inhale smoke. And you'll probably die of the smoke inhalation before the fire. And that's the thing. It isn't like that has to be so loud and rushing in your ears to kill you. Most of the time, it's the smoke that fucking kills you. Black Cat says the house diagonal to her burned down. The lady died. You could hardly talk to 911. Flames are so high. Jesus. Metadeath, 2001, September. The daughter and I was on the way home from a friend's house in Kenosha, Wisconsin. 9 p.m., you saw a woman in a white dress in the median at the intersection. People pulled over to help her. As they approached her, she dematerialized. You could see the astonished look of her face as she drove by. Spooky. Wow, what the fuck? Is there any stories about any, like, accidents or horrendous accidents or anything that happened over there? That's fucking wild. The trains were less than 50 feet from the house, shook the house every time they went past. Yeah, and you probably just slept like a baby, right? It's like people who grow up in, like, Chicago who sleep near the EL. They're like, yeah, the EL runs right past their window, but they grew up with it, so it doesn't wake them up. They just sleep with it all night. Boy, that's creepy. That makes me want to see if there's some... EL is the... Well, I think you could call it the electric line or the elevated line, but it's basically like a subway train, but up on a track. So it's like a smaller train that goes around and around the city and sort of out to some of the suburbs and back. So it's like this little train that drives like higher up. So, you know, like in GTA 3. If you play GTA 3, that's what you're talking about. Cheap. Geography and Knowledge of Other Countries by Rockstar. Alchemical, that was the same house where you experienced sleep paralysis and saw the Hat Man. Wait a minute, did you tell us this story? What is this Hat Man stuff? By the way, I have to do an offshoot here. Okay, if you want, can you please tell us the story, Alchemical? I'm interested in this now. While Alchemical is potentially typing the story, I have a story. This is a side offshoot. This is a gaming story. So Dan Dastardly got me into playing this game Kingdom Come because he was playing it on stream, and it is one of the funniest things. Between your commentary and the way you play and everything else, there's just... Every now and then, there's this childlike silliness to it that I just cannot stop laughing. And so he plays up this character that he calls,
the Dice Man. No one cared who I was till I picked up the dice.
Which is basically like, you know, a play on Bane, except Dice Man. And so he goes to play these dice games. And I remember, I think one of the first times I was seeing him play it, he goes to play this dice game. And he loses, and he stands up and just pokes the guy in the face with this hammer. The guy just gets knocked out at the table. I think I was laughing for like 10 fucking minutes straight. Just could not stop laughing. And so anyway, I was like, you know what, this game actually looks like a lot of fun. I haven't played a role-playing game like this in a while. I'm gonna grab it. So I buy this game, and as you start to get experienced, you know, you get stealth skills and pickpocketing and all this sort of stuff. And so I got this quest, and in this quest, you're supposed to help this guy. He's a little bit of a piece of shit. But what he wants you to do is he wants you to steal this gown from a woman, of which was given to her by a suitor. And he hates this suitor. So what he wants you to do is steal this gown so that he can give it to some other woman. And then that will make this guy feel like his gift meant nothing to her and he'll be heartbroken. And so I'm like, all right, I'll accept this quest, even though this is a little getting a little out of control, but sure. And so in game time, this is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's still fairly light out in the game. The characters walk around doing whatever. So you get the quest marker, it shows up. And it's like, hey, creep into her house and take the gown at night while she's asleep. I was like, oh, okay. But then I go over and I look around. I'm like, oh, but she's like near the back of this barn. I don't know if there's anybody around. So I creep up behind her and I choke her out. So I choke her unconscious, drop her body on the ground, and then steal her dress right off of her back. I was like, huh. So I run back to the quest giver. I was like, hey, man, here's the dress. And he's like, oh, you got it. Great. Fucking mission accomplished. And then I was like, I suddenly have a new game to play. So what I started doing is creeping around town, knocking people out, and then stealing their pants, and then throwing their pants in the street. And so they had all these people who were walking around going, oh, I think I've been robbed. And I'm like, oh, sounds like you've got a visit from the pantsman. There's a phantom depancer in this town. Don't actually steal anything else or keep it. Just take their pants and just like throw it in their front yard. There's just this big pile of pants in the middle of the street. What's going on in this town? And they can figure like hundreds of years later, there's this legend of legends. Legend says that there was a phantom that underneath anger from the Lord, demons crept from the woods and were stealing pants. Pants. It doesn't matter how many belts you wear. You could be wearing 100 belts. The pants man, you're out. If you're out anywhere by yourself, the pants man's going to get you. All right, so we got some back to some scary stories here by Chemical Metadeath of Shadow People. Shadow people are a common occurrence with sleep paralysis. And the Hat Man is an occurrence across many cultures and parts of the world with shadow people. Essentially a shadow person, but has a wide-brimmed hat and usually two red dots for eyes. My experience was laying there, seeing him in the doorway to the attic, which was in my room. He slowly turned around and said, "You shouldn't be awake right now." And then his black form just slowly dissipated before I finally regained control of my body. The only time I probably felt legit fear to the core of my body. That's fucking spooky. I am not a fan of that at all. That's a big no for me, dog. It's like fucking Baron Samedi or some devil shit. Ooh. King Dinosaur, you had a similar experience? Could you share that with us, please? Yeesh. Yeah, Dan, I wish occasionally you could watch me play like I watch you play, because I couldn't stop laughing. And then watching like some of the guards and stuff of the people, they like wake up, you know, the guards find the people unconscious in the street and they're like, what happened? And they run over and it's like, and they don't specifically say you haven't got any pants on. But then I'm like,
oh, it's another victim of the pants.
Every now and then when I go to quit the game, I do that for like a half hour. I'm like, all right, it's time to go to bed. I'm going to quit. But like, yeah, if I saved it, I may as well do some pants, man. Next thing you know, it's like 4 hours later and I'm trying to like evade everyone and steal their pants. That's why I can't play those fucking games. Damn you. Damn you for getting me into that. That's like... Mmm. The other thing that's really tricky to do is to fire arrows from way far away and, like, hit people that are, like, playing the dice because they're, like, sitting there. There's one, I think, in Sassau where you launch it over the barn, and then it's just, like, in the distance, you see this whack. The dude just falls over at the dice table. Like, it's like the Kentucky Fried Movie with the, and if you're Sagittarius, be prepared to expect the unexpected. Whack! And this arrow just fucking hits her. Alchemical did it. You started the chain of chaos. No, not even the guards can evade Pants Man. The thing is, when you have the ability to choke out the people, like, yeah, sometimes people try to fight you, but when you eventually have enough strength, it's very rare that they can break away. And then the Pants Man gets you. Pants Man steals your pants. And then one time, just for shits and giggles, I had a bunch of pants, and then I knocked out some guy, and I gave him all the pants, and then I'm like, and then the Pants Man escapes. I'm like, yes, they all think they caught the Pants Man, but little did they know, it was just a ruse. Yeah, enough strength, enough stealth, the toast. Yeah, I think I have like 15 strength or something like that, so it's very rare that they get away from me. The other thing that's completely wild, and I encountered this on accident, was like poisoning your weapons. I have this one where it like makes everybody all slow, and I accidentally shot my dog, and then the dog is walking around all slow. So then I decided, you know what's really funny is I'm just gonna start shooting all these people with these arrows and running them around because they're all slow. So it was like a fucking Benny Hill cartoon or Benny Hill skit. It's like, you're just running. Everybody's trying to chase you in slow motion. You're just like running around in a circle.
No one can catch the Pants Man.
I'm sorry. That's just, that's what keeps me amused at the end of a long day. All right, let's go back and read a few creepy things. We'll see if King Dinosaur is maybe writing up his creepy experience of the Hat Man. But, dude, that is fucking scary. I'm going to add this to a bookmark and maybe read more about this on a different night, because that's some pretty spooky shit. I'm digging that. I mean, I don't like it, but I like it. Let's see. This person was in the earthquake and near the nuclear disaster in Fukushima. Fuck. Susie Snoo. I was dating this guy for about 2 months. It was just another Friday night. I ordered a pizza and went into his bedroom to watch TV while I waited for it. He was on his laptop in the dining area. He started acting odd. He kept saying that he wanted to cage fight my ex-husband, whom he'd never met. I remember getting and paying for the pizza. Then he asks me, what did you do that for? I had no idea what he was talking about. He proceeds to attack me, pins me to the ground, and he's choking me. I'm sure he's going to kill me. I managed to reach up between his legs and grab and twist his balls as hard as I could. He rolled over and bit my shoulder and let me go. I ran to his bedroom looking for my phone. I was in a panic and didn't realize to call 911. I made the mistake of telling him that I was calling, but hadn't found my phone yet. He struggled with me and then stopped and went into his closet. I managed to find my phone at this point, but didn't get the chance to call. He came out with a gun, my ex-husband's gun that he had stolen from my house. He struggled with me on his bed. I thought for sure I was dead. He abruptly gets up again and stands at the foot of the bed. One second he's standing there, next he's gone. Apparently, I totally blacked out in the part where he shot himself in the head. I finally managed to call 911, but I didn't know his address. The cops show up, but he was dead by then. He was a bodybuilder, and turns out he had bought illegal steroids off the internet. The presumption was either took too many or had a bad reaction that caused him to flip out. I haven't thought about that whole incident for a long time. This happened 14 years ago, and retelling it has had an effect that I didn't know was there. All right, that's, like, I can't go to too many of these other suicide stories. That's too close to home for some folks, I think, but the Hat Man fucked you up for a while as a teen, Alchemical says. I can imagine why. King Dinosaur comments, something with his friend Mike, in the middle of the night, you woke up, couldn't move, and the door to your room was open, and a black, faceless human shape was leaning around the doorway, so they saw the head, torso, and one arm. My first thought was that it was Mike for some reason, and I tried to call his name, but he couldn't speak or move. Eventually, the shape slithered around the doorframe and disappeared, and after a while, I could move again. The next day, I asked Mike if it was my room for some reason. He said no, he'd been asleep in his room all night. Fucking scary. Do you remember the story I talked about when I was real little watching TV and I saw something like that peek around the corner outside? I think that's like the same sort of shit. Like, whew. But going back to the steroid thing. Look, steroids in some ways get a super bad rap. I think it's a little unfortunate that some people who have potential damage and need to recover aren't able to get them and use them, quote-unquote, responsibly. If you decide that whether you're bodybuilding or strength training or doing whatever, and you are going to get them, please be very careful of the source where you get them from. I'm not going to judge you if you decide to take them, because they have some legit benefits. And honestly, there is enough other knowledge about cycles and dosing and coming on and off gear and the drugs you can use to counteract a lot of the other side effects, that if you do it truly responsibly, it can be fine. But please, don't just, like, buy a box of steroid fucking Tums and just crunch them down and be like, yeah, good to go. Please don't. Well, your dose can be wrong. You can get side effects from other stuff depending on if you take too much or you're too frequent. Might not even necessarily been that he got mixed with bad stuff, but it could have just been somebody's like, yeah, here. And the guy just goes, oh, I'm just taking them. You know, who knows what cycle he was told to go on. But like, if you're going to do that stuff, there's always just a, please do some high quality research before you go ahead and do that shit, please. Black Cat had an experience like that with a person. He think it was the ghost of the neighbor's dead husband. See, but like, at least that's, quote-unquote, a potential human spirit. It's the inhuman spirits that are like, ooh. Yes, Pinhead got added as a playable character on Dead by Daylight. If you play Dead by Daylight, they do now have the lead Cenobite, Pinhead, which is pretty fucking cool. That game, I initially was like, oh, man, they totally stole the thunder from that Friday the 13th game. Because let's be honest, that Friday the 13th game and the Dead by Daylight mechanics are pretty much the same. But the Dead by Daylight at this point is just kicking their ass. I mean, I don't see anybody playing that Friday the 13th game. But Dead by Daylight just seems to have a very active community, especially with people who play on the streams. Yeah, the it was buggy when it launched. I mean, they tried to patch it, and it did get better with patches, but I think they just, I don't know what game studio was working on it, but they just didn't, they couldn't keep the attention there, I don't think, for the long haul. Black Cat comments back about the dead neighbor who died in the yard. He couldn't move or talk. I mean, like, encountering terror stuff where you get like frozen, that was like when I heard those footsteps above me. There's that period where it's like you get tunnel vision and like everything like slow, and you're like, you're so into it, you're just like, and of course if you're in a real crisis scenario, that's like the worst thing you can do. Dead by Daylight recently made their fan base angry at the non-fungible token thing around the Pinhead deal. God, places just fucking stop with that. Get out of that horse shit. They're eventually going to go the Payday 2 route and really piss everybody off, and then it'll be goddamn game over. All right, one or two more. Let's see if there's any... Let's see if there's any other here. It's crazy. Some of these are like, I was looking for more like spooky stories, but I don't think I'm going to find them. So, here we go. I used to trail run by myself a lot, not on super remote trails, but also wouldn't be uncommon for me to not see another person while I was out there. The last time that I went, I came around the corner and there was a guy eating blackberries from a patch along the trail. I ran past and gave a quick runner wave. As I was entering the woods a little further up the trail, I glanced behind me, and he was walking behind me. Not directly, but much closer than I felt he should have been, considering that he seemed pretty distracted by the berries. I was especially freaked out because I was already tired and facing an uphill climb. Well, he had been relaxing, and I knew he'd be able to overtake me. I sprinted into the woods, grabbed the sharpest rock that I could find, and cut through the forest parallel to the trail before I took the turn till I could turn back on the turn and turn in the direction I turn came from. He's probably some random guy who thought I was crazy, but I had some very bad vibes. Every now and then I'm like, you write better. But anyway. I left the laundry basket on the space heater in my apartment because it was a warm day. We had the windows open, went somewhere, but it was late spring, the temperature dropped, and the space heater came on. The basket melted and dripped into the space heater and set towels on fire. We drove into the drive and saw fire trucks. The fireman asked if we lived there. My heart felt like it got squeezed in a fist. Things started to go black around the edges of my vision and grew until all I saw was a pinprick of light and almost fainted. Fortunately, someone heard our fire alarm and called 911. They got it just before the walls ignited. My cat was okay, too. She literally jumped into my arms when I called her. Oh, kitty. That's multiple stories of people saving cats, which makes me happy. That's a happy ending to the story. Because I want to hear about that. I hear a lot of other creepy stuff, but I want to hear about no dead cats. That's about going to do it. That's just some creepy tales. Those weren't maybe quite the creepy tales or think about Halloween, but truly terrifying level stuff. Other than the Hat Man, the Hat Man story is creepy. I think I'm going to read up about that. Maybe I'll do that Wednesday. It's going to be another busy, quick week for me. And I am going to, pardon me, try to get Flixology here on Thursday. So Flixology 101, led by Phil DeGlass, should potentially be here Thursday for a lounge around episode. So that'll be a lot of fun. Until then, I still got to finish like half a glass of rum. All right, I better hurry up. Anybody else have any creepy stuff or gaming stories or cat stories? I will also accept cat stories while we finish this, show. Yay! I've seen that black cat that wanders around the neighborhood. I've seen her a couple times, but at other different, like in other yards. She hasn't come back by my house in a bit, but now it's like rainy and cold. I finally couldn't take it. And I'm like, man, I'm turning my furnace on because the temperature in my house, I'm like, dude, it's like 64. It's just starting to get, like, my fingers and stuff are starting to get cold sitting here. I didn't want to do that, but oh well. So, outside of that, I do have a line on a potential motorcycle for when I go to Arizona. So, if I do go to Arizona and have the motorcycle, what I'm going to try to do is try to do small little nightcaps from various places in and around Arizona so that maybe you can see a little bit of a different change of pace and scenery. I was very happy with the way the episode yesterday turned out using those headphones. You know, the audio isn't as good as this audio, but it still did a pretty good job. So I'm going to try to, when I go to Arizona, make sure that I find some places to go to. I do know that there's a Harley-Davidson dealership there, so I might see if I can't take some video of that dealership. But I also, of course, want to look for some cigar lounges or breweries, that sort of thing. I thought about maybe taking a ride up to Flagstaff. I'd love to take some pictures and video up and around Flagstaff. So if I can do that, that would be a lot of fun. But we'll see. Trying to talk to this guy. I mean, a lot of the bikes, I'm like, some of the bikes that are there, like, again, they were cool for riding around town for the price, but, like, underpowered for riding on the highway. And, like, I want to be spending those $60, $70, $80 a day. At that point, I'll just get a car. But I do think I will have an Indian Scout Bobber to ride, which is at least, I think it's almost a 1200cc bike. So at least that has enough power to go on the freeways and the highways without just being fucking redlined and vibrating into the sun. So anyway, we'll see how that pans out. Yeah. Let's finish this bad boy. So, as we say at the end of all these episodes, stay safe, keep the faith, and all of that good shit. Make sure you get yourselves some rest, and we will see you again tomorrow at 11 p.m.